Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans and Jeff Shade, a show that simplifies the complexities of investments, taxes, retirement, and more so you can discover how to better sustain yourself and your wealth for years to come. Brian is a CPA with 30 years experience and a financial advisor, which brings a unique perspective to the financial world. This show is brought to you by Madrona Financial and CPAs, home of the Rooted Wealth Plan. Want a retirement plan designed to last 30 plus years? Go to MadronaFinancial.com and click Get Started to see what the Rooted Wealth Plan can do for you. And now, here are your hosts, Brian Evans and Jeff Shade.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans, the show that gives you the straight talk and honest answers you need to help sustain yourself and your wealth for 30 plus years. On today's show, we're going to be discussing financial phases in retirement and why the 60-40 stock bond fund split should go away. My name's Jeff Shade, and as always, I'm just here to ask the questions, but the words of wisdom and solid advice come from Brian Evans, CEO and President of Madrona Financial and CPAs. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jeff.
Always glad to hear that, Brian. I hope our listeners are doing well today, too. We have another information-packed show lined up for us today. Brian, I recently read that there are multiple financial phases in retirement. What are they, and really, why do they matter?
Yeah, we're going to talk about certain phases. We'll break it down into four today. One will be the 10-year pre-retirement prep. So that's typically starting in your 50s for most people. The next one we'll be talking about are the go-go years. So those are from retirement essentially until your early to mid-70s, depending on your health. The slow-go years, typically from the early mid-70s into your early 80s. And then if you live that long and beyond, we got the no-go years. So the last 5 to 10 years of someone's life typically is what we classify as that. Exceptions to everything we talk about in here, of course. But those are the four, the pre-retirement and then at retirement, it's the go-go, then the slow-go, then the no-go years.
Okay, so we got four phases here. Let's start with the pre-retirement, typically about 10 years before retirement. Now, there are two aspects to, I think, all of these phases, Brian. It's lifestyle and it's going to be financial. So let's start with the lifestyle aspect of the pre-retirement phase, typically 50 plus.
Yeah, I mean, lifestyle and financial, some people want to think of those as one and the same. They certainly are not. We've seen some very healthy financial situations from clients where their lifestyle doesn't match that. And some people have a fantastic lifestyle without a lot of financial backing on it. Most of my clients want both. They want a fantastic life and really good finances to support the life they want to live. And so that's kind of our goal that we talk about, kind of a shared goal, I would think, with most people. That makes a lot of sense. So when we think about lifestyle, though, in those 10 years before retirement, some of the things that might catch us is we're working more than before, very often longer. You know, it wasn't that long ago when life expectancy in the U.S. was in the early 60s. I mean, people didn't live that long. And now we're like, well, I'm going to work until my early or mid-60s. And then I expect a 25-year retirement after that or whatever the case may be. So we're not only working longer to support that, because you think about it, if you do have a 25-year retirement and maybe you worked 35 years, you're retired almost as many years as you're working. So you gotta pile up some money to support 25 years, if that's your number, of not working. And so that's where this becomes so critical. And that's why, you know, you're probably listening to the show right now because you're somebody that actually thinks about that stuff. It's very difficult to retire if you weren't thinking about that during the 35 years you had income coming in and could do something about your retirement planning. And if you kind of put that off and you all of a sudden you go, oh, gosh, I'm getting kind of old. I want to retire. And you look on your 401k and you go, oh, man, I didn't do very well there. How am I going to support 25 years of that? Well, maybe not. Maybe you're not going to. And so that's why we want to talk about this stuff. So a lot of people work very long careers with the expectation, though, of a very long retirement. And so that's why we really have to prep. Now, hopefully you've been prepping longer than just the 10 years that we're talking about here. Because, you know, compounding, time value of money, all that stuff, you don't want to be late to that party. But basically, as you're getting closer to retirement, that's a very important time to go, okay, what does my retirement look like? How do I run a comprehensive financial plan to tell me, based on where I'm at and what the future holds, where am I going to be financially to help support the lifestyle I want to live? And so that's why this is super important to start thinking about that before you retire.
Brian, if you're age 50 plus those 10 years before retirement, it occurs to me that, you know, as you said, those are your higher earning years. Do you have more opportunities to save and really make a difference for the rest of your retirement life in those final 10 years? Are these final 10 years really the most important 10 years?
Yeah, I would say they are. Statistically, that backs me up too. The highest earnings decade statistically is a person's 50s, followed by their 40s, their 30s, their 60s, and their 20s. And so the 20s is just kind of a almost a practice phase for life for most people. That's where we're getting our skill sets honed in to kind of figure out what our direction is, our career path maybe. So that's more like that. It's kind of an extension of school in some respects. And maybe, and certainly in my own career, you know, I didn't make a lot of money in my 20s working as a CPA. When I started as a CPA in one of the most prosperous cities in America, Bellevue, Washington. Mm-hmm. My salary worked out to $9.25 an hour. Think back on that as like, wow.
Wow.
Gosh, that doesn't even buy me a, you know, you want to supersize that, sir? You know, that doesn't even get me that anymore.
But they double that salary to do that today. Yeah, it's 18 bucks an hour to flip a burger.
Yeah. So, you know, that wasn't where I made my money. I'm following the statistic. It'd be my 50s, you know, in that sense. And that is your time where you have the most resources to do the best retirement savings and retirement planning. Also, it's difficult sometimes, you know, maybe in your 50s, your kids are off on their own. Although for many people anymore, just because they moved out doesn't mean you're not supporting them anymore, because it's very difficult for young people as opposed to when we were young, Jeff. So difficult for them to make the ends meet, given how inflation and housing costs have gone up so dramatically and the wants of everything has gone up. And it's very difficult. And so a lot of people have that to make part of their retirement plan. And that needs to be part of it. So retirement planning isn't just, you know, what's your number? You know, I see those ads sometimes. What's your number? Come on, that's just not enough. That's not a retirement plan. Oh, my number's a million. Well, does that take into account you might be helping out your parents and your children while you're trying to save for your own 25-year retirement? Is your house paid for? Do you have a pension? Do you have Social Security? What's your Social Security look like? You know, does it take into account any annuity income you might have in retirement or other things? Is it taking into account the inevitable market drops, crashes, we'll call them? All that kind of stuff. Well, no, it doesn't even talk about your lifestyle. A number doesn't talk about lifestyle. So, I mean, that's so simplified. And we're going to be talking about super simplified stuff on the second half of the show when we go to the 60-40 stock bond split. Talk about simplified. But the other one is, what's your number? That's the dumbest thing I ever see. I get it. It's catchy.
Yeah.
It's clickbait. You know, well, I'm going to click on that. What's my number? I want to know what my number is. You know, well, you're not going to get it filling out three questions on a computer screen. So shy away from that. Do an actual comprehensive financial plan that takes into account everything, including spending on things that you're not spending on today that you may down the road, which could dramatically affect your financial plan. So as we're in our 50s, sometimes we're a little stressed out because you're sandwiched. You are taking maybe paying for your kids, maybe for their college, maybe for their first house, helping them get going. Maybe your parents need help and, you know, you're getting paid the most in your lifetime, probably because your work is harder than it's been ever because you're in charge of more. You're managing, you're trying to do all these things. Your energy is not as high as it was in the 20s and 30s, but your skill set is top of the game. And so you might have a lot of stress at work on top of being part of the sandwich generation. So these are things that you want to consider. And you don't want to just wait to retire. I have so many people I talk to, they're like, well, you know, how's your lifestyle? My lifestyle, it's terrible. I'm waiting to retire to be happy. I'm going to golf every day. I'm going to be happy. I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about that. Maybe there's a way to ease into retirement and enjoy yourself before you retire. Because what if you get tired of golf? What if you hurt your back and you can't golf? You got to figure something else out. I've seen a lot of older golfers can't swing a club anymore because of some physical ailment. And they got to redefine themselves. They were going to be a golfer and now they're not. And so they got to redefine themselves. So thinking about what will be your definitional life in your retirement, what gets you up out of morning, why are you getting up out of bed in the morning and all of that. But start early. I mean, why not start early thinking about these things? Because it's so important to live the life you want to live, to be thinking about, well, what does that even look like? And most of us don't even know what it's a nice catchphrase, Brian, but I don't even know what that looks like. How am I supposed to reverse engineer something I haven't even seen in my head or put down on paper or thought about?
Brian, if I'm hearing you correctly, that people now, while they're working, may have a clear path to where they want to go in retirement, so they may spend more.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about when I run a financial plan for somebody. It doesn't just answer, can you retire and when? What will your finances look like? It also will address, do you have any cushion? Do you have extra money now that you could be spending to kind of live the life you want to live and do other things you didn't think possible because you thought, oh, I got to put all this money away for those 25 years Brian was just talking about. So I can't spend anything. I got to not spend anything till I'm 65 and then I'll do my golf thing. Well, no, that may not be the case. We may do the plan, and this happens all the time where I go, you guys could spend a lot more than you are right now. And they're like, really? How? I don't believe you. And we look at the numbers and go, oh, yeah, numbers aren't lying. Because you're coming out of your highest earnings year. Now, they're potentially your worst tax years, but if you're slowly transitioning your portfolio to retirement and you're doing it correctly, again, one of the purposes of the financial plan is not just to tell us when and if you can retire, but what could your life look like as you transition towards retirement? So it's a multi-pronged approach. And it's sometimes very eye-opening for people on the good side of things because they didn't realize, and it can be life-changing. How many times have I talked to somebody and go, gosh, if I had known this 15 years ago, I would have gone on some trips. But I was saving. I thought I couldn't go anywhere. I thought I couldn't spend money. I thought I had to put more away. And you're telling me I was fine all along. I just didn't know it. So yeah, that is what I'm saying about running a proper financial plan.
Brian, I'm sure based on a conversation today that our listeners may have some questions about the different phases of retirement. You know, time is your most precious commodity. It's the one thing that you can't get back. If you're not front-loading your income or you don't know how to front-load your income, there could be some inefficiencies in your retirement plan that could prevent you from living your best life. Well, we've got some answers for you here for that question. And the answer is to call 833-673-7373 this weekend and request your Madrona analysis. No cost and no obligation for this analysis, just a friendly conversation to put you on a path towards a confident retirement. Now, you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify, but if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Once again, that telephone number is 833-673-7373. Phone lines are open right now for you to request your Madrona analysis. Remember, no cost, no obligation. It's not going to cost you a dime. Why would you not make that call this weekend? Once again, 833-673-7373. This one call could make all the difference. Okay, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the go-go years. Typically, when you retire up until your early to mid-70s, two aspects here, lifestyle and financial. We've covered some of the lifestyle, but I want you to expand a little bit more on your lifestyle that you would have in this first part of retirement.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, we talked about having a plan for your retirement. How do you define yourself and so forth? So knowing what that looks like costs money sometimes. And so one of the things that, we talk about front-loading expenses for early retirement and certainly these go-go years. So I very often I'll see in our financial plan a couple of columns. One column is something that starts high and goes low later, and that's our go-go column, we'll call it, our travel fund, our golfing fund, our hobby fund. And so I've seen people say, okay, I want to put, I'll just throw a number out there, $25,000 a year for first 10 years and then maybe drop it a little bit until we're 80 and then let's get rid of that column. We're not going to travel after 80. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of front-end loading your expenses. Conversely, the next column you go, oh, additional health care and deductibles. Okay, well, when I retire, I've got to pay for my medical until Medicare kicks in and I have Medicare supplements. So then it's going to adjust at that point. And then maybe later in life, I got to provide for long-term care or additional expenses that way. So that column might be going up while the go-go column's going down. So you can see as we start to get granular with what this looks like, again, you start to understand why when I see something that says, what's your number? And it's not thinking about any of this stuff. It drives me nuts because we got to be this granular if we're going to get it right. And so when you're talking about your go-go years, planning for that and some of the other things is, we just talked about, are you spending too little? Do you have excess money you could have been spending if you just knew you could? Should you pay off your house, your car? What things should you go into retirement debt-free on? Have you optimized your Social Security? Do you have an income tax plan, a tax plan for those years when your income might be lower, your taxable income, because you haven't taken annuities and Social Security yet, and you might be able to do Roth conversions or convert money at a low rate, capital gains rates at a lower rate, maximizing the tax plan and just making sure that you've done all that stuff so you can fully take advantage of your go-go years.
Brian, you mentioned taxes. Is this the best time during these go-go years to minimize taxes, to take advantage of the opportunities to minimize taxes throughout your entire retirement journey?
Oh, come on, Jeff. I've been a CPA for 40 years. I always think it's a great time to talk taxes.
I set you right up. This was a slam dunk for
you. You did set me up
you.
On that one.
Yeah, but I wanted
people really
to know.
That really was. But yeah, early is better than later, like anything. I can't do tax planning after the fact. You know, I can't fix what you did last year going forward. And I can't have a plan if I don't have time. And so you can't just make a lot of money and go, okay, how do I get out of taxes? And well, you don't. It's happened already. And so tax planning is a multi-year process. It's not a one-year thing, which we talk about on the show all the time. It's a multi-year process. We're trying to minimize the taxes over a decade, not have it zero this year and then be in the top bracket some other year. That's dumb. That's bad tax planning. Good tax planning is minimizing it over a longer period of time. And that's what I'm talking about with a tax plan.
So the go-go years, typically those will last, I think, up until around the mid-70s. Then come the slow-go years. Typically, it's going to be mid to late 70s to early 80s. What do we want to know about the slow-go years when it comes to lifestyle?
Yeah, one thing about slow-go years is those can be some of the happiest years of your life. Because, yeah, okay, maybe you're not climbing mountains anymore and doing some of the things that are strenuous, and you're not traveling as much. And maybe that's because you've already, I've already been to Europe, 12 times and already done this and that. I'd rather spend more time with my grandkids. Mm. I want to take them to the baseball game, and I want to take them, camping or something, whatever it is. I want to spend more time with my community interactions at my church, with my church family and that kind of thing, my hobbies. And maybe my hobbies just aren't as expensive as they used to be. I sold my race car and now, and I just turned in my golf clubs and now I'm doing other things that I find interesting that just aren't as much money. So again, sometimes the slow-go years, that sounds like a bad thing, but no, it can be a very good thing for a lot of people. And you just want to match up. What do your finances look like? Are they adequate? Sometimes they don't have to be as much as they were during your go-go years, and that's fine. That is part of the financial plan. You might see as your travel expenses go down, though, your medical expenses going up. And we have the thing called required minimum distributions. We're talking about early 70s, mid-70s here. So RMDs kick in. How does that look? How does that affect your tax plan, your cash flow, and your spending?
And Brian, I want to point out something here, too. Never turn in your golf clubs, okay? Never turn in those golf clubs.
Right, go to a par three, Get,
yeah, I'd like that. To see you out there on the links, you're 80 Absolutely. Years of age. You got to keep active and keep mentally stimulated. And it's just me. Never turn in your golf clubs.
I have a funny story about that. Just a little segue, Jeff. I was golfing, and they paired with father-in-law, and they paired us up with this really old guy. He was from Scotland. He was about 5 feet tall, and he couldn't see 10 feet, and he would get up there, hit the ball, and after a few holes, we said to him, well, how do you know where your ball's going? He told us you can't see anything. You don't even look when you hit the ball, and you don't even look because you can't see anyway. He goes, well, what are you talking about? It's in the middle. And sure enough, 18 holes of him hitting the ball in the middle. I even teased him once. I said, well, I think you're about a foot off the middle on this fairway. And he's I don't think you're right. I said, no, I'm probably not. No, he was dead center every time. Right. Goofy swing, but boy, he was sure enjoying himself, even though he couldn't see anymore. And he was well into his 80s, maybe 90, I think. Yeah.
Well, good for him. Never judge a book by its cover and never underestimate a Scotsman. Talking with Brian Evans here about the phases of life, and we're talking about the slow-go years. It would occur to me, if you're saying that we front-load the front years there, would you say that out of all of these phases of retirement, that we would expect to spend less during the slow-go years than we would the go-go years or even the no-go years?
Generally, you would expect to spend less unless you have a healthcare event or you need long-term care or assistance. And a lot of times it's not the long-term care. It's just, oh, hey, I need more help. I got to hire a house cleaner. I used to clean my own house. I got to hire a yard person. I got to hire somebody to help me do food or whatever it is. And so we do have to account for that, and especially long-term care. So that is definitely a conversation we'll have to see if you need long-term care supplement, that kind of thing. Medicare doesn't cover long-term care, really. So you might be spending more at doctors, but that's really, it's just the health thing. And oh yeah, I'll add one other thing. You might be helping other people more. You might be helping grandkids through college. You might be helping your charities more because you realize, I can't take it with me, so I'd like to see it good done today. And so you might be doing more donations and that kind of thing. So it depends. It's different for everybody. But certainly that is a consideration, that your living expenses definitely dramatically drop off, as I have seen for most people in their 80s and beyond.
Brian, based on our conversation, it's really interesting how nuanced a retirement plan and the different phases of retirement can be.
It is very nuanced. I mean, we're talking four different phases of life here and how different they need to be and planning for them. We're talking about higher expenses, front-loading expenses for when you're more active and want to take those trips and do all that stuff. We talked about how other expenses will go up later in life, whether it's your income taxes from your court-required minimum distributions, your healthcare expenses, maybe your charitable gifting or personal gifting later in life and all of that. Many, many different nuances to even a financial plan. And, you know, it kind of occurs to me that I'm kind of poking holes at my industry because I'm seeing too many people, you know, that don't have a financial plan. And, you know, I'm picking on that one that says, what's your number? Mm-hmm. Or the annuity salesperson that says, okay, I just sold you an annuity. That's your financial plan. Or the big box advisor, the strip mall advisor that says, oh, we put you in a 60-40 stock bond split, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show. There's your financial plan. And I'm just cringing here thinking about it. That is not a financial plan. A financial plan is very nuanced. It has a tax plan. It has an income plan, a cash flow plan, a spending plan, an asset plan, investment plan, an estate plan. You know, there's lots of things. Read the book, 7 Steps to Successful Retirement. You know, it's very important to do all of that. So as I meet with somebody and I go, okay, have you had a financial plan done? No, they don't have a financial plan. Okay, well, that's something we can do for you. Do you have a tax plan? And they'll say, yeah, my advisor said they do tax planning. I said, have they ever asked you for your 1040? No, they have not. Okay, you don't have a tax plan if someone hasn't looked at your income tax return. How about your estate plan? Yep, they did estate planning too. Did they ever ask for your will or living trust? Nope. Okay, well, you don't have an estate plan either if no one's asked for that either. So, you know, to me, this whole world of financial planning can get very nuanced to do it right. You know, you can do it and not do any of this stuff and hope for the best, but I don't suppose anybody's listening to this show right now that thinks that's good enough for them, that they would want the whole thing that we're talking about here on the show today.
We're talking about the four phases of retirement with Brian Evans of Madrona Financial and CPAs, and that would be the pre-retirement years, typically 50-plus up until retirement. Then come the go-go years. We've talked about that, lifestyle and financial. And then the slow-go years, and we're going to be talking about the no-go years when we come back from our short break, Brian. But meantime, I want to talk to our listeners here. If you're hearing the program today and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I wasn't aware of these different phases of retirement. I wasn't aware of all of the nuances. I wasn't aware that you need a different income strategy for each of these phases of retirement. You know, time is your most precious commodity. It's the one thing you can't get back. And if you're not front-loading your income, you don't know how to front-load your income or how to pay for these different levels of retirement, then I've got some good news for you. You can call 833-673-7373 right now because we've opened the phone lines for you to request your no-cost, no-obligation Madrona analysis. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373. And as I said, you can make that phone call right now. A friendly voice will take some basic information from you and then set you up with an appointment with a Madrona advisor who will talk about the phases of retirement and any other thing that you want to talk about to put you on a path towards a confident retirement. Once again, it's not going to cost you a dime, 833-673-7373, and you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify. But if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. So what are you waiting for? Make that call right now, 833-673-7373. And request your Madrona analysis, no cost, no obligation. It is not going to cost you a dime. And remember, this one call could make all the difference. If you're just joining us, this is Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans. I'm Jeff Shade, and we just finished discussing the financial phases of retirement. If you want to hear the show again, don't worry. We're also a podcast. Just go to wherever you get your podcast, search for Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans. You'll get this show and weekday takeaways so you can stay on top of your wealth and how to grow it. Brian, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish our discussions about the four phases of retirement. We'll be talking about the no-go years in addition to why the 60-40 stock fund split should go away. All that and more when our show continues after this. Stay tuned.
Do you ever worry if your CPA and financial advisor are on the same page? You won't have to if you call Madrona Financial and CPAs at 844-MADRONA or go to madronafinancial.com. Now back to more of Growing Your Wealth.
Welcome back to Growing Your Wealth. I'm Jeff Shade alongside Brian Evans, CEO and President of Madrona Financial and CPAs. And in just a moment, Brian and I are going to be discussing why the 60-40 stock bonds fund split should go away, in addition to finishing up our conversation about the four phases of retirement. And we're going to be talking about the no-go years. But first, we want to invite Dr. Richard Himmer in, one of the partners here at Madrona, to share a few non-financial tips on how to emotionally and mentally prepare for retirement. Richard?
Thank you, Jeff. Retirement is often associated with the idea of lounging around aimlessly and wasting hours without purpose or direction. Now, if that bothers you with me saying that, then you're in a good space. Because I'm here to tell you that this notion could not be further from the truth. Retirement is not about idleness. It's about engaging in purposeful play and infusing your leisure time with meaning and growth. Whether you enjoy playing cards, visiting family, or pursuing hobbies, approach these activities with intention and a desire to enhance your skills and knowledge. Playing cards, for example, can be an excellent way to sharpen your mind, hone your strategic thinking, and enjoy the company of friends and loved ones. When visiting family, seize that opportunity to share your wisdom and life's experiences when invited, fostering deeper connections because you become interested in them. Allow them to feel needed, to feel wanted, to feel that someone is interested in them, which leaves a lasting impact, especially on your grandchildren. If you have a passion for particular hobbies, retirement provides a perfect opportunity to elevate them to new heights. Transform your gardening pursuits into a botanical masterclass, delving into the intricacies of plant care and landscape design. Turn your love for golf into a precision sport, focusing on mental acuity, physical conditioning, and the art of the perfect swing. Approaching your leisure activities with a sense of purpose and desire for mastery can lead to immense satisfaction and personal growth in your retirement years. It's important to note that embracing purposeful play often involves stepping out of your comfort zone and welcoming discomfort as a catalyst for growth and transformation. As quoted before by Gary Brecka, aging is the aggressive avoidance of discomfort. Let's make retirement an aggressive attack on the discomfort, which reduces the discomfort and literally slows down, if not interrupts, the aging process. Trying new activities, learning new skills, and challenging yourself intellectually and physically can be daunting at first. But it is through these experiences that we expand our horizons and discover new facets of ourselves. I want to emphasize that retirement happiness stems from actively engaging with life in the present moment. Don't postpone joy or put off pursuing your passions. Now is the great time to invest in them. Start with your social connections, nurturing those relationships, and prioritize your personal development and mental well-being. Remember, the key to a fulfilling retirement isn't about trying harder. As mentioned before, it's about trying different approaches and embracing new perspectives. As you prepare for retirement, or if you've already embarked on retirement's journey, I encourage you to reflect on and identify areas where you can infuse more purpose and meaning and take actionable steps towards creating the retirement experience you actually want. Remember, your retirement story is yours to write. You're the author. You're the narrator. You're the producer. You're the director. With the right mindset, support, and strategies, you can create a narrative filled with happiness, fulfillment, and endless possibilities. I invite you to join me in a new podcast adventure called How Not to Retire, A Psychological Approach to a Healthy and Wealthy Retirement, where the time and energy are spent on the accumulation of wealth. As mentioned, money is not the focus. That's what Brian does best. But wealth That's having enough. Money is only a very small part of wealth. Money's a critical aspect, and it can buy happiness if you have the right mental mindset toward it. But wealth is having enough. Enough time, enough love, enough friends, enough social activities, enough to do. To listen to the podcast, go to HowNotToRetire.com and subscribe. You can receive a complimentary ebook on the process. You can also sign up for Brian's weekly newsletter. And if you're so inclined, you can meet with an advisor and discover for yourself how money and wealth are combined into a singular system called retirement planning. That's HowNotToRetire.com. Until then, this is Dr. Richard Hemmer reminding you to align your habits with your purpose and embrace the journey of retirement with open arms and a curious mind. Take care, everyone, and remember, don't try harder, try different.
Thanks, Richard. Brian, let's get back to our conversation here about the four phases of retirement, and this is going to be the no-go years. Typically, it's going to be 80-plus. What's your lifestyle going to be like in these no-go years?
A lot of people don't think you really have to prepare for that. It's like, well, you just said no-go, so why do I even have to think about it? But I've seen enough situations of, you know, we want to be successful in all phases. We talked about making sure you're living a full life during your 10 years prepping for retirement. You're not just putting it off. Similarly, in your slow-go or your no-go years, we want to have a plan for that, because I have seen situations where it really wasn't thought about, and someone gets to that age, maybe they've lost their spouse, and they don't have the relationships built, they don't have their faith life together, they really don't have hobbies, they're not traveling anymore, and they're not really sure why they're getting out of bed, depression can kick in, certainly at that point. You're older anyway, and maybe your health isn't as good. But even if it is okay, if you haven't prepared for what does your life look like when you don't have the things that you had during your 60s and 70s, then it can be pretty devastating. I think of a situation. I was talking to one of my clients, and he literally has millions and millions of dollars he'll never spend in his 80s. And the situation I just mentioned, he's really struggling with, okay, why do I get up out of bed? And what occurred to me is the last time I talked to him, I said, well, what were you doing? And he said, oh, I'm reading these articles about how to save money. Don't spend unnecessarily. And I'm just shaking my head going, he's still worried. And he's going, I'm so glad you called. Am I okay? We've been through this. You have millions and millions and millions of dollars you'll never spend. Yes, you're beyond okay financially, but is your lifestyle okay? Is what, you know, I'm thinking to myself. I'm not saying that, but certainly it's not, because he's still worried about running out of money. It's been so embedded in his brain for his whole lifetime that he's not enjoying any part of his no-go years. So I just want to point that out, that, you know, just because you're not doing as much doesn't mean that life doesn't have to have meaning, even though your energy's down, but you can be focusing on your legacy, your relationships, gifting. Make sure your estate is in good order. Don't leave this world sometime you passed away with finances only to have people fighting over them because you didn't have a proper estate plan put together. And that's a very important thing, too.
So in these no-go years, as you said, you're not going any place other than the doctor. Most of the time, that's probably pretty much where you're going. But you want to be thinking about relationships and gifting. How would you suggest that people look at gifting strategies in their no-go years if they haven't planned for it up until now?
Well, I mean, we can always do what we can do. You know, it's never too late to do planning and that kind of thing. And certainly I got to focus on, you know, what do you want to have done with your assets after you're gone? So it might be, I want to leave money to my grandkids. How old are they? 10. I'm like, well, if you leave money, then when they're 18, they get it and they can do anything they want with it. Well, that's probably not a good thing. I would have burned through that at 18, you know. So yeah, they probably will too. So how about we talk about trusts? How about we put those in your will, that they can have access to the income for a period of time, or they can have access to money for college or a first house or whatever, and they don't have access to most of the funds till later in life when they're more mature. So, you know, these are some of the conversations. Oh, I see. So this stuff can be going on to help people even after I've passed, for decades after I've passed. Exactly. Maybe it's endowment funds for charities. I could go on and on here, but there are absolutely planning opportunities for the no-go years too.
We've been talking about the four phases of retirement with Brian here on Growing Your Wealth. We've talked about the pre-retirement years, 50 plus. Of course, there are the go-go years when you may spend the most money. Then you've got your slow-go years. You're not quite done yet. And then you've got your no-go years. So if you have questions about funding these different phases of retirement, or you'd just like to talk with an advisor about that, once again, that telephone number to call, 833-673-7373. Go ahead and call it right now. Phone lines are open, and ask for your no-cost, no-obligation Madrona analysis to cover these four phases of retirement. Once again, that telephone number, 833-673-7373, and you can make that phone call right now this weekend. Okay, Brian, let's shift gears now and talk about this 60-40 stock bond portfolio split. Why is this 60-40 thing so popular, do you think?
Because it's easy, I would think. I think it's probably the basic. And, you know, there's statistics and there's statistics. We can look at averages and so forth and say, well, based upon the last 100 years, this was the result. I'm like, well, I really don't care about 100 years. I care about the next 10. Can you show me that graph? And, well, no, I can't show you that graph. We don't know what the next 10 exactly. So, you know, the 60-40 stock bond split was meant to be a way to allocate between the stock and bond market, and then came along this thing called the Rule of 100, which basically says invest whatever your age is, invest that in bonds, and then take 100 minus your age and put the rest in the stock market. And so if you're 60 years old, if you follow these general rules, you go, oh, okay, I need all of my money in stocks and bonds. And the allocation would be 60% in bond market and 40% in stock market. And I was railing on this a couple of years ago, especially because the bond market was at an all-time high, meaning they were paying the least amount on bonds. You know, U.S. treasuries were, 10-year treasuries were not even 1% and that. And so you're like, well, is that where you want to invest your money long term, locked in? And when rates come back up, you lose money? That doesn't seem like a very solid approach. But the industry is saying, oh, yeah, you need to use the Rule of 100 and have most of your money in bonds protected. And then 2022 comes along, rates go up, and you go, huh, my investment lost 15-20% just in the standard bond indexes. How is that protected? I don't feel real protected from that. I just lost, you know, an eighth of my portfolio or more, you know, whatever, based on the protected part. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I got to poke holes in this because it's so generic. And I poke holes at the two primary types of advisors that I understand are out there. It's the ones that are promoting the 60-40, 40-60 stock bond split, or the ones that are just selling an annuity. And as we talk about on the show, there's six places to put money. There's cash to cash equivalents, stock market, the bond market, the insurance company industry, real estate, and alternative investments. And there's many, many subcategories within each of those six major categories. And for our clients, we want to take a look at all six areas. We don't want to just put you in an annuity. We don't want to just put you in a stock bond split. We don't have clients like that. We have integrated in many different things and then do the financial plan we talked about in the first half of the show. Do the tax planning, do the legacy planning, do all of this stuff coordinated with that, understanding what your cash flow and spending can be in retirement, all of the above. So just dumbing it down to 60-40 stock split, you know, that's how a big company gets bigger. They can hire thousands of advisors and to get them all on the same page, you got to kind of dumb it down. You got to make it simple and say, okay, we're doing the 60-40 thing and everybody's going to do it. So we're all saying the same thing. It's easy. Here's your lines to tell your prospects and so forth. Or if you're a big annuity company, same thing. Talk about how the market's going to crash and you need protection in annuity. And just here's your six lines to tell people there too. Yeah. So I'm really hammering my own industry, but there is a lot of that out there. And that's why I have the show. I got to try to educate, but I'm also trying to be real. This is what people are hearing, that, oh, wow, if I just buy your product, it solves everything. Yep, it solves everything. Well, no, I don't think it does. Brian says it doesn't. One product doesn't do that. There is no one perfect investment, and there is no one perfect strategy such as 60-40 or 40-60 stock bond split.
And we've all heard these, as you said, 60-40. There's the rule of 100. There's the 4% rule. And I think if somebody throws these things out, to me, it says, hey, I don't want to think about this, or this is all my capabilities are. So if someone says that, you might want to reconsider doing business with them. So if I'm hearing you correctly, and the 60-40 stock bond split is not right, or even stocks and bonds are not right, it kind of makes me think that, well, maybe you want a financial advisor who can deal with diversification more than just stocks and bonds. How do you figure out what asset classes should be in a diversified portfolio?
Well, that's why we do the financial plan. And when we talk about the steps to a successful retirement, we have the book that you can download for free, The 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. And we have to address many different aspects of financial planning, which would, you know, include cash flow planning and then growth planning and security, liquidity, you know, those kinds of things. Your lifestyle plan, what do you want your life to look like, gifting, estate, legacy, all that kind of thing. So it's more than that. And really, I'm not saying that having stocks and bonds is a bad thing. Virtually every client we have has stocks and bonds in their portfolio. But all I'm saying is, why limit your toolbox to start out with? Why go and only use the two categories or one category, say annuities, to build your retirement plan? I just don't think that's it's not diversified like it could be. It certainly maybe doesn't address what's really important to you. So for instance, stocks and bonds, and you want a high cash flow in retirement, well, their stock and bond portfolios aren't necessarily designed for very high cash flow. They have some, but after fees from the advisor, the S&P 500, for instance, the yield on that might be just barely north of what the fee is to have that managed, and you don't really have any net cash flow. Maybe you have some growth, maybe you don't. And so it depends on many factors there. But just limiting yourself, I'm just stressing that look at other options. At least have the conversation with someone that offers everything out there as opposed to someone that doesn't. I think you're better off. I mean, you can go to a car dealership and as an analogy, and you know, it's a Mitsubishi dealership or whatever, and you want a truck that can, you know, haul heavy loads, and they're, oh no, all you need is a Mitsubishi. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. Can I go to the cross street, that Ford dealer, you know? And oh no, you don't need that. And well, maybe I do need that for the job that I want to accomplish. So for the financial plan you want to accomplish, it may be important to have access to all the different types of investments, not just limit yourself.
Brian, before we continue our conversation here, I want to talk to our listeners just a moment. If you have been talked to about a 60-40 stock bond split, if an advisor has ever mentioned that to you, rule of 100, 4%, and you feel that you need a little more comprehensive financial planning, then this is for you. I want you to give us a call here at Madrona Financial and CPAs this weekend and request your Madrona analysis. It's a comprehensive analysis that will answer a lot of these questions for you. Now, to get yours, call 833-673-7373. Again, phone lines are open right now. Even though it is the weekend, go ahead and make that call. Friendly voice will take some information from you, set you up with an advisor to answer your questions. Again, it's not going to cost you a dime, and that telephone number is 833-673-7373. Now, to qualify, you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets, but if you do have that, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Again, what are you waiting for? Get your questions answered and begin this conversation by calling 833-673-7373 right now. And remember, this one call could make all the difference. Brian, it appears to me that there are basically endless options for diversity in your retirement process. Can you give me an example of this process and what it may look like?
Yeah, I want to start with why sometimes it doesn't work and then kind of how we would look at building a proper portfolio. So you might have the statistics, as I mentioned, you know, 100 years of 60-40 stock bond split worked great. Well, let's say you retired around year 2000 and you did the 60-40 thing. Your retirement failed, probably. It probably failed because we had 9/11, dot-com, recession, and your stock market investments just plunged. The NASDAQ dropped, I don't know, 70-80% during that time. And you were pulling money out, which never recovered because you took the money out of your portfolio. And it wasn't a whole lot of years later before you go, wow, I got to go back to work. So we don't want a portfolio that's going to fail. Also, if you fast forward to, say, 2007, let's say you did it then too, and then 2008 hit, interest rates went way up all at once. Your bond funds got hammered. Your stock market funds got hammered. But you were in high yield bonds and you were in dividend paying stock funds. They got hammered the worst. High yield funds just got destroyed. And dividend paying, well, what could be wrong with that? Well, let's see. Dividend paying stocks typically in real estate. Ooh. Real estate got hammered in 08, and so many things that you thought were good under any circumstance turned out to be the worst. And so the people that had high yield and dividend funds just got destroyed in 2008 in that area. So your retirement failed again there. So, gee, one decade, I didn't even get through the whole decade, and I had two places where if you retired, the 60-40 stock bond split completely failed you. And so that's why when we build a portfolio, we want to know that when and if the stock market, these changes happen, we never know what they're in. Nobody predicted COVID. Nobody predicts these things. These things happen, and they will continue to happen. We'll have all kinds of different markets. So if we're not diversified in planning for that, so let's say somebody comes to me, they have $1 million, and you know, we don't just cookie cutter them and go, oh, you need a 60-40 stock bond split. We're going to ask them questions, and we might find out stock market keeps them awake all night long. They can't even live their life. They're so worried about it. They want cash flow and security. Oh, okay. So now we have a different conversation. Now the conversation is going to be more about, well, do you want guaranteed cash flow for life? Or do you want to take some risk and maybe have a higher cash flow, but understanding you'll have some risk in that portion of the portfolio? We won't make everything in any one part of your portfolio, but maybe there's a mix. Maybe there's some with some risk that's providing cash flow, some with no risk that's providing a lower cash flow, but still adequate for what you need. Maybe there's more in secure type of investments as opposed to growth investments, because that's just where they're at. Conversely, somebody comes along and they got $3 or $4 million and they go, well, I got a pension, I got annuity, I got rentals, I got all kinds of cash flow. I'm not even worried about that. I'm really not worried about security because I've got enough, you know, money. So can we access all the different growth categories, whether they're the stock market, the passive real estate, passive credit funds, private equity, structured notes, buffered ETFs, all these other categories of growth investments, but sprinkle it across the different ones? So you can see here's an example of two different people that came in, very different answers to what they're looking, because they're looking for different things. They're a different place in life, different cash flow, different risk tolerance, and so forth. So we can tailor our suggestions as opposed to if I'm working for one of these big companies and I'm told what to sell. You're selling 60-40 and 40-60 regardless of what they say and what comes out of their mouth. This is what you're going to sell them. Or if I'm an annuity salesperson, I'm the hammer, you're the nail. I am going to convince you to buy my annuity regardless of what you tell me about your situation, your risk tolerance, your cash flow. I don't care. This is what I sell and you need to buy it. So we don't want to be that. And so I wanted to give that example of two different people come in with very different recommendations from us.
Brian, it occurs to me that everyone is an individual, and as you said, no two people are alike and they have different needs. Is there ever a time when just a very simple portfolio is adequate for someone, or do you always need to reach deeper down into the bottom corner of that toolbox?
I think you always got to reach down because I can't think of a situation where the six areas you can invest in, where one is going to do it for you, where it doesn't have risk. And sometimes it's like, well, I'll eliminate risk. I'll just put it all in annuity. Well, that's a risky proposition too, because now you've overloaded on security and you don't have the growth maybe to support your investments for the length of your retirement. So you can be too secure. And here's an example I was thinking about is, let's say that you follow this rule of 100 and you're 70 years old and you go in and the advisor says, yep, you need to be 70% in bonds and 30% in the stock market. Well, you might have, you know, Social Security, you know, you've got that coming in. And if you consider that an asset too, it's essentially an annuity, which can be a bond substitute. So instead of a 30-70 portfolio, once you factor in the effect of Social Security in that portfolio, you might have a 10-90 portfolio, meaning 10 in growth and 90 not. Because Social Security is not a growth asset, but it is akin to an annuity. It's akin to a secure investment. And so you might have too much security. As funny as that sounds, because you say, well, I plan on living in my 90s. I got 20 years. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't know that the bond investments coupled with Social Security is going to do it for you in 10 years. You know, it may not. Most of us need some kind of growth aspect in our portfolios. So we can be too conservative as well as being too aggressive, but it's just too hard for me to even consider how am I going to build a proper portfolio for anybody if I'm only using one or two asset classes.
Brad, our conversation today may seem a little overwhelming. It does to me. For our listeners who are listening to this and, you know, they feel that, well, maybe this is a little too much to handle. Do you have any words of encouragement for our listeners who may think that this is maybe too much?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to do the heavy lifting. So let's break down, if you're listening, and the reason people don't do this is they generally either are a do-it-yourselfer, and you don't have access to most of the stuff I'm doing, so that may not work. Or they just, oh, this is too much work. It's going to be too complicated. I'm going to be overwhelmed. That's probably why. And I want to assure you that the heavy lifting is going to be done by us. And so all you have to really do is pick up the phone, call us, and schedule a 30-minute talk. And then from there, we're going to have a conversation with you, figure out what you want your life to look like, basically. And then we put it together, and we'll explain it in simplified terms and show you what your cash flow can be, what your spending can be, and put together a plan that makes sense. And so we're going to do all the complicated stuff behind the scenes and be able to answer your questions, of course, as they come up. But don't feel like you have to put this together. That's what we get paid to do. And so if you decide to become a client of ours, and then we'll put that together and answer simple questions like, can I retire? Or when can I retire? How much can I spend in retirement? Do I have cushion? How much will I leave to my kids and my charities someday projected out? So those are questions that will be right there on the financial plan. And we'll put all that stuff together for you. So I know it sounds complicated, and it might be behind the scenes on our end, but on your end, we're not going to share all that complication with you. We're going to walk you through the process. It can be a very enjoyable process, in fact, knowing that you're going to be okay, knowing what your retirement looks like, and that we can help you get that retirement so you can live the life you want to live.
Brian, we've had a great conversation today in the show about the four phases of retirement, the lifestyle and the financial part of that. Also, why the 60-40 stock bond portfolio split should be really going away. If you've missed any part of the program, remember we're also a podcast. Go to wherever you get your podcast. Search for Growing Your Wealth. You'll find this show and all of our past shows so you can stay on top of your journey towards a successful retirement. And remember, make that call this weekend to request your Madrona analysis. That telephone number, 833-673-7300. And you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify. But if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. Once again, phone lines are open right now to make that call, 833-673-7373. And remember, this one call could make all the difference. Brian, we're out of time for this week. I want to thank you so much for your time, but most of all, I want to thank our listeners for joining us. For Brian Evans, I'm Jeff Shade. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week right here with another edition of Growing Your Wealth.
No statements made during the Growing Your Wealth show should constitute tax, legal, or accounting advice. You should consult your own legal or tax professional on your own individual information. Brian Evans and Madrona Financial Services is licensed to offer investment advisory services through Madrona Financial Services, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Insurance products are offered through Madrona Insurance Services, LLC, a licensed insurance agency and an affiliate of Madrona Financial Services. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investors cannot invest directly into indexes. No investment strategy, including asset allocation and diversification, guarantees a profit or guarantees the avoidance of loss. Financial planning is an important tool that does not guarantee specific outcomes. DSD investments are only available to accredited investors and offered solely through the issuer's offering documents. The DST sponsor determines whether to accept any individual subscription documents. Madrona Financial and CPAs is a registered trade name used singly and collectively for the affiliate entities. Madrona Financial Services, LLC, Madrona and Bauer Evans, Inc., PC. Bauer Evans. Investment advisory services are provided through Madrona. CPA services are provided through Bauer Evans.